This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Summer Homework. Summer homework? Wait, the kids had summer homework? What was it? School starts tomorrow. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is about Rob Childs. This year, I've been celebrating authors from my local community. Each month, I've been featuring someone who was born in Leicestershire, lived here, or has some other meaningful connection to the area. I've gotten more than one puzzled question about this, so no, I'm not originally from Leicestershire, as you can tell by my accent. I'm from Los Angeles, but I'm very lucky to call this county here in the Midlands of England home. Despite being a transplant, I am settling in. I've learned some of the local lingo. I know how to respond when I'm greeted with, "Hey, op me duck," and I know what it means when one of the old fellas in the village tells me it's looking stormy over at Bill's mum's house. I know I should order a bacon cob rather than a bacon bap, and I feel that I can provisionally call myself a chizzit. Before we get started, I wanted to remind everyone to send in those questions for the 100th episode, in which co-host Chloe and I will respond to anything you ask us. We've gotten some fun questions so far, but there's still room for a few more. I also wanted to let you know that the little story Chloe and I wrote together, Cindy Feller, an Old West fairy tale, is now for sale on Amazon. We decided to self-publish it after getting a good reaction to the free audio version we put out way back in episode 3. However, the story's been refined quite a bit, so I plan on re-recording the audiobook. Chloe also thinks we should add sound effects. I'm on the fence about that, though, so if you have any thoughts, please send them in to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. My Leicestershire children's writer for August is Rob Childs. He was born just over the county line in Derby, but I won't hold that against him because in 1969, he packed his bags and traveled 25 whole miles to study at Leicester University. He studied social sciences, wrote for university magazines and newspapers, and met his future wife, Joy. He graduated and got married in 1972, and then went straight into a job as a secondary school or high school teacher in Loughborough, a town about 10 miles north of Leicester City. In 1974, he switched to teaching primary school, moving down to Kibworth, which is down on the southeast side of the county. In Kibworth, Childs ran the school's sports team on top of his teaching duties. You often hear the cliche, write what you know, and it really is true here. Most of Rob Childs' books are about kids playing sports, and this drew on his extensive background as a coach for football, that's soccer for my American friends, cricket, cross country, and general PE classes for school kids. He could see that there weren't many stories about kids playing sports, and that these kinds of books could draw in children who struggled with reading or just weren't interested. After 6 years of coaching and teaching children, he published his first book, Soccer at Sanford, in 1980. This would be the first of over 80 books published by Rob Childs. In 1987, with the publication of The Big Match, Rob decided to leave teaching to write full-time. He would return to teaching at Manor High School in Odeby from 1990 to 1994, then spend 1 year training at the Dyslexia Institute, an organization that helps students with dyslexia and teaches educators the best methods for helping these kids. After this, Childs went back to writing full-time. Childs' work is mostly sports fiction for younger readers, but he's also written educational titles and even some historical fiction. I can only imagine how helpful his soccer stories were back in the 80s. Today there's an ideal that you can be both sporty and brainy, but back then there was more of a divide. There could even be snobbery between these groups, with jocks being proud of their poor grades, and the nerds shunning sports as being beneath those with massive brains. But the thing about reading is that it's for everyone. And children will realize this if only they can be given books with subjects that interest them. This especially makes a difference to kids who aren't interested in reading, or kids who have great difficulty with it. Child's 1998 graphic novel, Moving the Goalposts, is a really good example of a book that has a lot to offer not just mainstream readers, but also children who struggle to read at all. This story, which was illustrated by Gary Reese, tells the story of Sam, a boy who's very dedicated to his football team, but who really struggles at school because of his dyslexia. As goalie, he seems able to anticipate any problem in a football game, but in class and even in his friendships, he's having a hard time. This book is cleverly designed in a bunch of ways. While, of course, any kid could read it, Moving the Goalposts is going to be especially relatable to kids with dyslexia. But the book can't just be about dyslexia because nobody's entire life and personality are ever limited to a disability. The book is about a kid who loves to play soccer. He has a strong network of family, friends, and teachers around him as he grows up. And he happens to have dyslexia. The story opens in the middle of a football match being played by Southfield School. Sam, who plays goalkeeper, does his best, but the other team is relentless, scoring 2 goals to Southfield's 1. Any soccer players reading the book will easily be able to follow the action, as everything is based in real soccer play and rules. Despite the loss of the game, Mr. Rogers declares Sam to be man of the match. This is an opener that will hook any reader. Sam has put in a lot of work to be a good goalie. He's respected by his teammates and the coach. But despite his best efforts, he lost. Readers should already be hoping for his fortune to change when something even worse happens. Mr. Rogers gives Sam an assignment to write and read a report about the football match in front of the whole school. The image that accompanies this scene in the book is very striking. It shows Sam with his face pinched by worry, surrounded by symbolic faces that are leering, staring, and laughing. As his teammates advise him about what to put in the report, the story reads, quote, "Sam didn't hear the comments. His senses had been numbed. Leering faces swam before his eyes, the sound distorted. All of the pleasure and excitement of his performance had suddenly vanished. A sense of panic washed over him instead, and sweat broke out on his forehead." End quote. The image and accompanying text will be very familiar to anyone who's ever dealt with anxiety. In Sam's case, the stress comes from the fact that reading and writing are very difficult due to his dyslexia. Young readers with dyslexia will be able to relate most directly, but any kid should be able to empathize with Sam here as well. Some kids are terrified of speaking in front of others. Some children can perform the mechanical tasks of reading and writing perfectly well, but they're not very good at composing words. There might be many reasons a kid wouldn't want to read out a report to the whole school, and Sam reacts the way most of us would. He tries to get out of it without coming right out and admitting the real reason. It can be difficult and embarrassing for kids to talk about a disability. People who don't understand a lot about a condition might dismiss symptoms, especially if they're not visible to others. Kids with dyslexia sometimes hear from adults that they're just not trying hard enough to read. Yet these same adults would never say something like that to a child with cerebral palsy who is unable to run. There are scenes in Moving the Goalposts that can really teach adults what not to do when helping kids with disabilities. But the story never reduces Sam down to just being a dyslexic kid. This is really a story about a boy who likes to play football, hang out with his friends, feel love and support from his parents, and survive that awkward time in school known as year 7. This is the gift of Rob Child's writing. It's clear he spent his career not just teaching kids, but carefully paying attention to them. I've focused on Moving the Goalposts because it's a good example of how Childs is able to write an engaging story for kids that weaves together exciting sports moments, believable character development, and sensitive discussion of disability. But all of his books I've read share a common trait of being able to speak to young readers about ideas that are meaningful and important to them. If you've got a young reader who's sports crazy and claims that books aren't for them, I recommend grabbing some works by Rob Childs. These stories may have had their origins here in the quiet neighborhood schools of Leicestershire, but they've got something to say to school kids and sports fans from anywhere. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.